promo sounds good, but boy, it didn't look that way in Boston after that first quarter in the 108-83 loss. It's game two tonight. Complete Cavaliers coverage. Mike Fratello in this morning, brought to you by Metro Lexus, former head coach of the Cavs, one of the winningest coaches in NBA history. Analyst now, of course, you see him on TV and with us on the Cavs. Mike, good morning, bud.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. I know you've been working for a couple of days on prep, joining us this morning. Take me through possibilities, percentages, chances, scores, coming back for game two. What are you thinking?
If you guys felt like I did after game one, I was shocked by the score and how much we lost by. So it made me go back and look at what's happened and think about this. Of the four losses we have in the playoffs this year, three of the four have come by at least 18 points. Against Indiana, we lose game one, 98-80. We bounce back in game two and win. After losing game six, 121-87, we bounce back in game seven and beat Indiana. We just lose 108-83. So I said, well, I wonder if there's anything that happened during the regular season. In the regular season, 20 of the 32 losses during the regular season came by at least 10 points. So I think what we're saying here, when this team gets down big, they lose big. Like, it's not like they come back and they lose all these 1 point, 2 point heartbreaking games. They get down, they don't have the ability, because we don't have that Kyrie Irving guy to go along with LeBron James and be a point producer on their own, the ability to go one-on-one. Our guys have to play off of one another, and that's been part of the problem, and that's why it's a struggle sometimes.
Mike, when you look at LeBron, he sets the tone for everything. He had an awful game. Even Coach Lou said, hey, he had a bad game, but it was really bad. He never really got going. What did you see in terms of Boston, what they're trying to do to him?
I think it was very clear. They put a physical guy on him in Morris, and then as soon as LeBron started to make a move, their first thing was, if he gets down in the low post area, we're coming and double-teaming him early on, so he knows we're coming after him. And that kind of discouraged LeBron from getting back down in the low post area. The second thing was, anytime he's on the perimeter facing Morris or whoever else had switched on to him, then they started to come early with the next guy. So as LeBron would be trying to make his move, he'd see that next guy coming to double-team him, and he often did the right thing, gave it up to an open shooter. But look, it wasn't just LeBron, Mike, that had bad games. JR had a terrible game. Love, even though he had 17 points, his numbers were not good. And defensively, Horford was 8 of 10 from the floor. Korver had a bad game. Green, who I think is the X factor, had a bad game. Well, you can't have four other guys and your main guy all have bad games and expect to win.
Mike, Coach Lou kind of put it out there yesterday that Tristan Thompson's had a lot of success against Al Horford. He wouldn't go so far to say he's going to start him tonight. But your thoughts, if he would make that move, is that a panic kind of move? Or what do you think?
No, not a panic move. Isn't he our life preserver, Mike? When we get in trouble, we throw Tristan Thompson back out there. And he seems to come through every time. His numbers last game were very impressive in the short amount of time that he had out there, 20-plus minutes, 11 rebounds, 8 points. That's a pretty good job. So by putting Tristan out there, we now become a more physical team. We now can go on the glass against them, punish them a little bit, get some second-shot opportunities. We shot the ball terribly. We had 86 field goal attempts, but only made 31. That's 36%. So of all those misses, we know Tristan's going to stick his nose in there and come up with four or five of those, just throw them back out to maybe get open looks from behind the three-point line. So if he made that move, I don't think it's a panic move at all. I think he's going back to what he feels safe with. Game seven, have to win against Indiana. Tristan Thompson's in the lineup.
Now we look at this Boston team, Mike. You know, it's kind of funny. I think the perspective is, let's talk about who they don't have, from Hayward, who they never really had. And, of course, they lose Kyrie, and we know the talent that he is. What do you see in this Boston team, though, that seems to be getting better as they go along?
They know who they are. They know what they have. They know they don't have Hayward. They know they don't have Kyrie Irving. So what's been sold to them is, this is who we are. But you know what? We're pretty darn good. And we're young in a lot of spots. Tatum is young. Brown is young. Rozier is young. Marcus Smart's not that old. Baines has done a great job. Cast off by a couple teams, he winds up there. And he starts half the season for them at the starting center spot. Horford is the key. No matter what you say with them, Horford's the key guy. But if you think about it, at the end of the game, big play. If they need a score, they throw the ball to Horford. At the end of the game, if they're trying to hold on to a 1 or 2 point lead, where do they throw the ball? Horford, because he makes foul shots when he gets fouled. If they need a big pass at the end of the game, just to get it in bounds, who makes the pass? Al Horford. So it's a bunch of stuff going to Horford, the veteran guy, to help lead these talented rookies. And what's it mean, Mike? It means that with all the draft picks they have, with Hayward and Kyrie coming back next year, it means Boston is to be reckoned with for quite a while.
Good take. Former Cavs coach Mike Fratello, game two tonight, going to the watch party. Have us on the way. Nick Camino from there with Cavs Now starting at 6. We'll talk more with Jim Jones later at 8:20 this morning. Good stuff, Mike. Thanks. Have a good day.
Thanks, guys.